Anyways, Aaron Donald didn't happen. The dude made it up, apparently. I'm not too sure what the specifics of the situation. Do you know it better, Tyler?
Okay, so anyways, all we missed was 5 minutes of Emmett talking about Aaron Donald being a beast and thought he beat this guy up. But there's a video. Aaron Donald actually pushed people off of this guy that were kicking him.
So Aaron Donald is, in all actuality, the hero of this story.
Yeah, he saved this guy's life, but he tried to sue him after he got his ass kicked by like two or three other people.
So, even that's just as ridiculous, though. Because although, like, no one actually fought Aaron Donald, which to me is just as funny and ridiculous as this entire news situation is. So he saves you. You fabricate a story. You get him called into his team. Like, you know, the league takes notice of this story, gets called in for meetings. He has to explain himself. And now you're suing him. So you're just going to, like, now you're really going to piss him off. So now he's probably is going to fight you in the end anyways.
I don't think Aaron Donald's in the first place of fighting random.
He'd never fight you in the first place, but if he, like, even if he had no plans on doing it, now he does.
He had no reason to fight you before.
Yeah. If he didn't before, now he does.
That's a valid point, actually. And you know what? Like, for somebody to fabricate something like that, like, especially with a big superstar, when they're like who they are and their reputation is easily damaged, especially of recent in the NFL, because in the last like few years, these NFL players are just dropping off like flies due to like personal reasons. Like, you look at Antonio Brown, Alden Smith, we talked about him in last week's podcast. Who was Deshaun Watson? We'll have to figure out if that one's true or not.
Yeah.
Like, there's just a lot going on with that stuff.
I think with the Deshaun Watson thing, the overwhelming amount of numbers, there has to be some truth.
That's what I said with some of the facts that come out, it sounds like there's definitely some liars in there, which makes the whole thing.
There's definitely some opportunists in the pool, I'm sure. But, I mean, what was the number last time we checked? 12 all in the same occupation, all in the same place.
I think it was like 20 or something like that.
Oh, really?
Was it down to 12?
I think so.
I thought they were like reducing the numbers as the lawyers went through and kind of dug through everything.
Might be reduced now.
And if they wanted to actually go through with the trial, they had to come forward with their names and stuff. So they would lose.
Okay, they'd lose.
One thing Tyler and I were talking about last week's podcast, actually, it was about how when you do have these women, and even if three of them, their stories are true and he did sexually assault them, if there are seven of them, though, or three of them, or five of them, that just come out eventually, say like, yeah, we lied about this, we were just doing it for money reasons. It just, like, those ones who were sexually assaulted, they just get ignored as well too. I think that's like a big issue as well.
There's a word that I need, but whatever. It totally, I guess, illegitimizes like the claims that the true claims.
Yeah.
Like there's like one bad, I don't know, whatever. Go ahead.
Was it? And like, all it's gonna take is for one of the people to come out as fake and knowingly lied, and people are gonna be quick to jump to be like, okay, the rest are obviously lying too, because he's just such a big name NFL superstar, and everyone wants to believe him.
Well, and it's like once the hole's punched in the ship, it's just like going down, and that's the sad reality of today's society. When you do have like
that's a good point, though, it's at the
forefront of things, and there's a lot of miscommunication and misconception about what is right, what is wrong, and et cetera. And this is gonna be one of those trials that might fuck over the minority of people who are actually like suffering from this. I think that's the sad reality of it, though. But
an NFL standpoint, you got to think, if you're one of the teams that was in that hunt to get Deshaun Watson, like if you're a Miami, or I can't remember the other teams that were vying for, but I know Miami, Denver, Miami, like if you're one of those teams, you got to be pretty happy that, I mean, in the worst way possible, you got to be pretty happy that this didn't come out. Because imagine if you're a team that made that investment in Deshaun Watson early, he goes and then all this comes to light. Like, what do you do with that investment then?
Well, yeah. I was just going to say, do you guys think if even like a couple of them come out as true and he has to pay a fine or whatever, you think his NFL career be done or what?
I don't think so.
No, it wouldn't be done.
And the only reason I don't think that his career would be done is the Texans without Deshaun Watson, even when it was just a, you know, a trade scenario and not a personal issue scenario. Like the Texans need Deshaun Watson. The fact they were trying to get rid of him in the first place to me was ridiculous.
That's what I said from the start. Doesn't make any, wouldn't make any sense.
No, it makes no sense to get rid of Deshaun Watson. And like, even, I think even if some of this is true and he gets suspended and fined or whatever the case may be, like that team needs him. He's still going to have a job in the NFL simply alone on the fact that the Texans need to be competitive or want to be competitive more.
Yeah, they're not going to be competitive for a couple of years.
No, definitely not. But the only reason they are even semi-competitive is because of Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason people are coming into that stadium is Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think a good example of that's with Kobe Bryant. Granted, he was never found guilty of it in a court proceeding. He paid off, like he negotiated in the background.
Yeah, he settled out of court.
Yeah, but it's like one of those things where it's like he obviously did it, but he just paid his way out of it.
And did
it's
he just, though? Or maybe he just didn't want to go through court.
I'm pretty sure he did.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did. If you're not guilty, you're gonna go to court and be like questioning and be like, no, I'm trying to clear my name. If you're guilty of it and you're trying to settle it quickly and quietly, you pay them.
You said,
or if you're just like, I ain't got time for this, I got the money for this, fuck off.
Yeah, but that's not like,
yeah, that's not but like the amount that they settled. Yeah, but it's not like they're paying $10,000. It's like they're probably settling for a few million at that point.
Oh yeah,
that'll like it's a decent amount of change. It's not just like I'll give you my game check for the next two games. It's like, oh, I'm giving you half my salary or whatever it would have been in the early 2000s.
Yeah, I presume the person that was on the opposite end of that Kobe case that settled out of court was paid pretty well.
I'm assuming. I don't know the number.
I'd have to assume.
Yeah, such a high profile case, and to keep it so quietly, especially when he had a wife as well too, and everything, or at least a girlfriend, whatever the situation was there with.
Was that Vanessa at that point?
I think so. I think they've been together the whole time, if I remember correctly. I'm not too up on the Kobe Bryant beef or Kobe Bryant life.
Yeah,
no. But that's kind of my general understanding of it, though. What did you guys hear about Kobe Bryant releasing his new, or not Kobe Bryant, the Bryant family releasing a new Kobe Bryant sportswear? Because their contract with Nike expired and Nike didn't renew it they couldn't agree on a contract negotiation because the two parties wanted different things.
Yeah,
Nike didn't want to reamp and be more on the ball with the Bryant brand, while the Bryant family was like, no, we want this and this and we want the freedom to do all this stuff. So they didn't negotiate a new contract with Nike. So they're on their own. And this is something that Kobe Bryant wanted to do before he passed away, was start his own brand and his own clothing line brand for sportswear. So that's what they're doing now, apparently.
Messi, what I heard was that Vanessa Bryant wanted a lifetime deal and Nike was like no, so she's like okay, I guess.
Oh, I heard a bit of that as well too, actually.
That's all I heard about it.
Oh, see, I heard it was more so they wanted more freedom to do more things and they wanted Nike to prioritize the brand more.
Yeah,
well, like my thought is whether you're Nike or you're the Bryant family and you're releasing anything that has to do with Kobe now, wouldn't it just be a smart financial decision on Nike's, like, on Nike's part, just to keep that deal going?
Yeah, for more the tradition of it.
Well, not just tradition, but now that, unfortunately, like death sells, and it shows in all aspects of entertainment that death sells. So I think Kobe Bryant now is more profitable than he ever was at the end of his Lakers run. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I'm not too sure because it's as a like there's different marketing schemes that go into you compared to a player compared to when you're not. So like his shoes probably sold more when he was a player because he was out there wearing them.
Yeah,
But okay, just yeah, in terms of his brand recognition and people like recognizing him more often and him being more popular and people prioritizing him, definitely after he's
passed away. That's what I mean. Like maybe not the shoes, but I mean like just in terms of pure merchandise with the Kobe Bryant logo and the Kobe Bryant name and the Kobe Bryant image. I think now it's more profitable than it's ever been.
Yeah.
So I think if you're Nike, you're kind of a fool to give up Kobe Bryant right now. And I mean, that's totally selfishly from just a business perspective on Nike's part. Like if they wanted to be really selfish, they go like, okay, maybe. We won't give you lifetime, but let's say we do 15, 20 years. Mm-hmm. That's going to profit for 15, 20 years. People still have an interest in Kobe Bryant. People still want to, you know, want to show that they were fans and show appreciation and still buy the stuff. So I think if you're Nike, you kind of have to take that deal.
Yeah, but if you're Vanessa Bryant, you're only asking for a lifetime deal, and Nike doesn't, maybe they don't see the advantage of having a lifelong deal. They don't think it's
profitable. Yeah, I don't know about that time. Yeah, I think lifetime is a lot to ask from a giant. But I guess I can
especially see for an individual who can't contribute more to his name and recognition.
Yeah,
that's true. I think that's probably why Vanessa wanted the lifetime deal, because all respect to Kobe Bryant, and like, you know, you said 15, 20 years he'll sell it. Will. But it'll definitely peak. Like after 5 to 10 years, I would say people are going to start forgetting about him more so, and he's not going to be prioritized. There'll be other players that come in. Yep. So after that 5, 10 years, it's going to drop down. A Nike investment for, say, 10 to 20 years, smart. But for her, not smart, because she's only going to profit for the first 5, 10 years. Then after that, so she's probably aware of that if his name after 5 or 10 years will probably be diminished quite a bit due to him not being able to contribute more to it.
Once everything kind of blows over, because it's only been just over a year since the actual accident, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I'm kind of seeing it from all sides. Like if you're Nike, you have Matt's point where it's, you know, after 5 or 10 years, how many people are still as interested in the Kobe Bryant, like in the Nike stuff. So I don't know. I mean, do you want to make money now or, you know, now and then not so much in the future? Or do you want to, it just kind of depends how you want to run it. So I guess, I don't know, maybe the best thing for them is to just do it their own way.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah, I say, if and like you're the Nike family, probably you start found your own company, you have that company in your family now. Like you can just keep running that forever and ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Well, I think with Nike as well too, is I'm assuming the Bryant brand hasn't been selling as best as it has done before compared to like LeBron and Jordan and all these other brands that they have now. So I'm assuming they're like, well, why would, let's just invest in another form of brand. We'll let her do her thing with this name, but we'll invest our money into another brand, see if we can make money from them instead.
Yeah.
And I guess you could spin it as respectful on Nike's part where, you know, instead of making it all about how the deal soured and you didn't want to give her a lifetime extension, you could spin it and say like, well, we wanted her to have the Kobe Bryant name and the Kobe Bryant whatever, and have that run by the family, and have the family have all the proceeds instead of us. Like you can spin that.
Oh yeah, I'm sure after 20 years, there was and millions and millions and millions of dollars made. There was a mutual understanding to part ways. They're like, you know what, we're good. I respect this. All right, so I got to ask you. Tyler and I have talked about this, and we're very indecisive about this question. Who do you have for your NBA MVP?
I think it kind of has to be Jokic, doesn't it?
That's what I'm thinking right now. That's what I'm thinking of recently.
Because I'm looking at Tyler right now. Well, he does not look so convinced with that.
He doesn't.
Answer.
No, he doesn't.
He's like, averaging the double-double, but like I think he only has 26 points a game.
But at the end of the party, he's averaging 8 assists a game, though. That's at the minimum 16 other points that he's contributing towards. A minimum.
Yeah. Well, I get it.
It doesn't include three-pointers or and-ones or free that leads or passes that lead to free throws as well, too.
Just pure assists, yeah.
Yeah, that's pure assists.
That's just pure points on the board.
Yeah. I also feel like NBA is more of a league where the big names win. So I feel
so
like
you're saying NBA?
Then by that point, though, We wouldn't have had a Karl Malone winning over Jordan.
Well, that's how
Barkley would have never won. Iverson would have never won.
Durant would have, or not Durant.
That's, I feel like Durant
would have won. Westbrook would have won then.
Yeah,
maybe Harden a bit more.
No, but they definitely both would have. I feel like,
because I don't think Jokic is the giant name. Is a big name. Like, I mean, if you're a basketball fan, you know Nikola Jokic. Yeah. But if you go to, like, the average person and ask them who Nikola Jokic is, I mean, half of them probably don't know.
Yeah, he's,
they probably know who he is, but don't know his name. They're always like, oh, is that white guy from Portland? No, that's Nurkic.
Yeah, no other itch.
Yeah. What were you saying, Tyler?
I don't remember.
Oh, fair. Who do you think should win it, Tyler?
I don't know.
Steph Curry's making a good late-season push for it, though.
You got to wait to see the stats at the end of the year. I think if LeBron didn't get hurt, he was locked in just because everyone was whining he doesn't have enough MVPs.
I think there was a point in the season where LeBron was definitely the front-runner. Mm-hmm. I think it had less to do with – normally, like, the whining from the LeBron lovers normally actually does help LeBron quite a bit. Well, but I think at one point in the season, it was almost undeniable that LeBron was the MVP of the league, and then he got hurt.
Yeah, he was putting up good numbers. So then more people than just the regular LeBron lovers were fucking whining and complaining about it. But like, he had good numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was leading the Lakers to the top of the conference as well too. Yeah. There, you know, especially when AD went down, that was the biggest thing, and they were still competitive with LeBron James.
Yeah.
Like that Lakers team, I don't know what happened, but going into the season, I was like, they got better. This is so unfair. They're going to win. And now I look at their roster, regardless of injuries and like what each player has done this year. And I'm like, why did I think that their team was going to be so much better than they are this year? I can't figure it out. Like they're
like Schroeder's a upgrade in my opinion at point guard.
Yeah. But like, I don't know. I guess they have Drummond now, which is a huge addition because Marcus Gasol was doing fuck all.
Marcus Gasol sucks. I never.
But like Harrell, Montrezl Harrell's not been playing as good as he used to. I thought he was going to be another six man this year.
You expect him to play better than what he is right now.
Definitely.
So, also, championship teams always have high expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and then, like you said,
the offseason acquisitions. You saw Gasol, you saw Schroeder, you saw all these guys come in, and now I think, I don't know. Like I said, like championship teams always have high expectations. They had a bunch of big offseason acquisitions. Everyone thought they were going to be better, and then the NBA season actually happened.
Yeah,
it just unravels the way that it did.
Once it comes to playoffs, we'll see the Lakers actually turn it off. I think
that's true. Oh yeah. James is supposed to come back here in the next week or so, if I remember correctly.
Same thing with.
Isn't AD still hurt?
AD came back.
Oh, he did come back.
He was like minus 11 in his.
Yeah, he shot like 14 minutes or something like that. He did not do a whole lot.
He was like two for 11 or something.
Me and Tyler talked about this like 2 months ago, because it was like a week by week thing 2 months ago, and we're just like, I don't know if this has been a weird injury where it's not going away, but now you have James Harden as well too with his hamstring injury. Like he has, it's hamstring, right? With Harden,
yeah. Well, Harden, Kyrie, and Durant have still only played 7 games together.
That's scary.
They're paying these guys a lot of money, and they can't stay healthy if their life depended on it.
Well, I think I saw like the actual stat, but I forget the record. But the Brooklyn Nets are actually better when Kevin Durant isn't on the floor.
Yeah. I said this last week, or maybe 2 weeks ago. I think they're the best team when Harden's on the court. Regardless who else is there, they need Harden.
I'm a big James Harden fan. So
I wasn't.
I'm always going to support James Harden. I loved him in Houston. I liked him in Oklahoma. I like him now. So I'm always going to be Team James Harden.
Yeah, when he had his falling out there, I was like, he's a little bit – it's kind of sad how easily these players can manipulate where they go and what happens just by not really them trying. Because you can tell James Harden wasn't trying with the Rockets early on in the season.
We have 9.
Oh, no. He pulled a Vince Carter. But, man, just watching him play on Brooklyn and how when he's surrounded by all these good players, he's still the player that shines. He's that player that, like, when he gets the ball, I'm still just like, oh, what's he going to do? What's going to happen? Yeah. You know what I mean? He's so interesting to watch.
I thought of him as more as a stats player until I see him with the Nets, though. Because his teams never did anything in the playoffs.
Like a better Russell Westbrook, in a way?
Yeah. Well, definitely a better Russell Westbrook. You see, there's a stat where Russell Westbrook leads clutch field goals in the NBA or something.
Yes, I think so. And he takes so many of them. It's like,
no, but he still shoots the best percentage.
Really?
Yeah. So, because a reporter asked him about it, and he's like, yeah, I know. I'm good. I know what I do.
The Wizards have been making a late season push.
Yeah, I
think they're in the play-in games. I think they're 10th right now, if I'm not mistaken. They've been really, I mean, Westbrook and Beal have been playing very good together, if I remember correctly. They're balling right now.
Okay, quick question. Do you think the Knicks are for real or what? They just lost tonight, but they're on a 9-game win streak.
Yes.
They're fourth in the East
now. I like what they're doing out there. Julius Randle is most improved player this year. Has to be.
Yeah.
But Tom Thibodeau, that's the last name? Thibodeau?
Yeah, Thibodeau. Or Thibodeau, something like that.
Yeah, whatever. Fantastic. He's a really good coach. Super underrated. He's so good out there. One thing that I didn't like what they did was they released Austin Rivers. Now, I'm not too sure how much he was getting paid, because if he was getting overpaid, it does make sense.
I don't think he was.
But he was he's a good player.
Yeah, he's not bad. I didn't think. Maybe. Clearly, he can't be that good because he's been traded and cut.
He's been released. He got picked up a few days ago, though. But what do you think about Austin Rivers?
I think Austin Rivers is a bit of kind of like a Ricky Rubio type, even though I think Ricky Rubio is much better than Austin Rivers is. You look at the times Ricky Rubio has been traded, yet, Ricky Rubio's high assist numbers and the way he elevates younger players and kind of just overall improves the team when he's on it. I think that's kind of what Austin Rivers is. I'm not saying every team's better with Austin Rivers, unlike Ricky Rubio, but he's kind of got that thing. He's now the veteran that's getting put on teams as kind of the veteran head who will make, have a couple of good assists and kind of just somewhat elevate a team's in terms of depth.
He'll add that seventh, eighth guy up your bench, which is important.
Yeah, he adds. Yeah. I think
they know what he's giving you.
Yeah, exactly. You he has a role. He does his role well. And then from that point on, if whatever other team needs that role, he'll just go fill it.
Yeah,
that's a good point. That's why I was kind of I was confused of why New York released him. Granted, this is before they went on their huge push. Maybe he was the reason they were not as good. I don't know. But looking at it now, you'd think he'd be the perfect guy for New York coming off the bench, seventh, eighth position. Give you those 8 points off the bench that you need in those playoff games.
What does the Knicks starting roster look like right now? Can't say I'm a huge Knicks fan. So.
Me neither. They've been pretty relevant for about 20 years now.
So. Yeah.
They got a team now, though.
They do.
Yeah, they're decent.
And it's not just a superstar.
They got a team. Was Nerlens Noel, who that guy found a second career. Julius Randle.
Fourth career at this point.
Yeah. Julius Randle, RJ Barrett, Reggie Bullock, and Elfrid Payton. And then Derrick Rose is your seventh man off the bench.
I'd rather have this era Derrick Rose than Austin Rivers.
Well, yeah, that's for sure. And I think Derrick Rose plays more minutes than the starting point guard.
Question.
Oh. Okay.
Is Derrick Rose a Hall of Famer?
No.
I think they'll put anyone in the Basketball Hall of Fame at this point.
I don't know how Basketball Hall of Fame works.
It's a pretty easy. I mean, it's a big honor, but a lot of people go in.
Do they have a limit on amount of people that go in per year?
I think so, but I mean, I think the Hall of Fame in both the NFL and NBA is kind of silly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great honor, but I don't think they're doing it very well anymore.
I think in the NFL, there's only 3 people a year that go in. In MLB, you can have as many as get voted in, or you can have 0 people that get in.
I thought they had 8 guys in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Don't quote me on that, though.
I don't know. I don't hear of the NBA Hall of Fame very often, I feel like.
I think with Derrick Rose's you know, in the younger career, his accolades and the way he's come back, I think he'll definitely be in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
I think you got to wait to see what his final career numbers look like.
I think he'll be in the Basketball Hall of Fame. I think there'd be a lot of people disappointed if Derrick Rose wasn't in that Hall of Fame.
I agree. I think he will make it. At the end of the day, his career numbers aren't really going to change that much more compared to what they are now.
Yeah.
I think Emmett made a good point. It's his story. He was this up and coming. Yeah. He was the youngest MVP ever, and then injuries hit him. But then he still like fought through and found his like second and third home with New York, with Minnesota.
There's no way a story should be involved in the determination of you getting the Hall of Fame. Now, if he does get in the Hall of Fame, I'd say the only reason is because he's the youngest MVP ever. That's the only logical reason.
I think
me because that's a historic thing. But you can't tell me someone should get in the Hall of Fame because of the story. Because then automatically, Alex Smith, boom, Hall of Fame.
I think that it's not your accolades for what you did for the organization. It's for your influence on the game. That's the biggest thing. It's because you see
I think there has to be that discussion made that Matt just said. Because yeah. I think accolades should be a massive part of it. And I think they should ultimately be the deciding factor between Derrick Rose waiting longer than what the more established guy who wasn't as injured, you know, as long as he would wait. I think Derrick Rose will probably end up waiting longer than people want him to or think he should. But I think at some point, like Matt said, influence on the game definitely plays a role in that. And especially if you're a great player that also influenced the game.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think too, you look at recently these, establishments and organizations are adding people who broke the color barrier into the Hall of Fame, even though they're
you can't compare Derrick Rose to that.
I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that's the same common theme though. It's not necessarily what the achievements, what the accolades they achieved on the field were. It's what they brought to the game, their influence on the game, how they progressed it.
I'm not sure.
Because there's also Hall of Fame builders as well too. Like who didn't step a foot on the court that still go.
As someone who didn't, I didn't really watch a lot of basketball, especially when Derrick Rose was winning MVP. I couldn't tell you a single reason why he was such a big influence on basketball in general. I didn't even know he was the youngest MVP ever.
He was 23 years old when he won MVP in the league.
Yeah.
And he was taking the league by storm. He was taking on LeBron James.
I knew he was good, and then he had shitty injuries, but...
Yeah. So, I don't know. And I think at the end of the day, he's just such a fan favorite. And in today's society, where your influence is greater than what it was 40 years ago, where your influence on the game is so huge and like the fan base is so huge today because of social media and everything, I think it will play a bigger role in determining if he goes to the Hall of Fame or not than what he accomplished.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you'll have to wait and see. Again, I don't know what NBA,
that's fair.
Hall of Fame is.
Accolade-wise, he does not deserve Hall of Fame, but I think it's what he brought to the game, though.
I agree, but you could argue that he does because of the youngest MVP thing.
That's true.
That's pretty big accolade. Emmett Dyer, what happened?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm looking into.
He does the Sea Searches stuff. Okay.
We're running out of time here.
We're running out of time here, so I'm gonna end this one, and then we're gonna start another one. So if you're listening to it right now,
they're not gonna hear this part.
We're going for a drink break really quickly, and we'll be right back.
Smoke break.
Smoke break.